Monday, August 22, 2022, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45 p.m. Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 o'clock p.m.
This is a simple one. This is a good one to get you in.
Just follow the agenda.
Start at the top.
Call for the pledge.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that there. That's easy.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Scott is not here. Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Here, go ahead with the consent agenda, yeah.
I'll make a motion to accept the, is it the minutes of the meeting? The minutes of our previous meeting?
I don't have it.
Okay, I'll make a motion to accept it.
I'll second.
Larry?
Here, yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott? Janet?
Yes.
New business, want a hearing for the Glad Tidings Lighthouse application for exemptions from motor vehicle taxes by qualifying nonprofit organization for a 2018 Chevrolet three-door Marion VIN number. So the vehicle is used for trips and activities and ministries. The application comes with recommendations of approval by Don Bosque, Treasurer. So I guess Don's not here, I guess, so I don't know.
Staff's up.
Staff,
yep.
I apologize, I did not realize it was on here today. I'm a little behind. But usually, yeah, Glad Tidings always has their vehicles on for exemption.
Is this the only one they have?
To be honest, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to.
The only one due in August.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They have to only allow 15 days ahead of their renewal.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's one by one.
I'll make a motion to approve the application of exemption. That's the recommendation of the Treasurer's Office?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes. And the three is mail-in for emergency business.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
Joan.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, staff. I have none.
Let's see, number four, public comment. I guess we don't have any adjournment. Oh, that's yours, yeah.
251.
Nice job, Larry.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Well, I'll do the last, I'm going to plan ahead.
Commissioners meeting to order. We've already done the pledge for the BOE part of the meeting. So, Joan, roll call, please.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Scott Love is absent. Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
I'll make a motion to excuse Scott Love.
I'll second.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Here.
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Commissioners reserves the right to adjust the order of items on this agenda if necessary. The first item on the agenda is public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comments about any item not on the agenda. The chair has the discretion to limit the time of comment. Anybody wishing to speak on anything not on the agenda? Nope. Okay. Then we will go to item number two, which is the consent agenda, which consists of the approval of the previous meeting minutes, the approval of payroll claims for August 7th through the 20th. Janet and I went through those today. Also, approval of accounts payable. We went through those as well. Everything seems to be in order today. And approval of official reports, deeds clerk, and clerk of district court.
I'll make a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
All right. Motion by Janet, second by Larry. Call the roll, please.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay. Under new business, item E is Unity in Action to inform the board of their second annual Hispanic Heritage Celebration, celebrate Siouxland, and extend an invitation to the commissioners to attend the three-day event. Unity in Action is also seeking discussion of the event with the board to learn if there are any suggestions or avenues for Unity to consider ensuring that the event is the best it can be for the entire Siouxland community. So if we have a number of guests that want to speak, or you can take it away. Welcome.
Okay, thank you. My name is Vanessa Topete. I work at Unity in Action. And Jessica Saldana is here with me today. She is one of our committee members for the event Celebrate Siouxland. And is it okay if we pass these out so mm-hmm. people can see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she will be handing those out. And we just want to briefly talk about what Celebrate Siouxland is. It is a festival that we are doing in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month. It starts on September 15th and it goes all the way to October 15th. So we are doing this festival in honor of our Hispanic heritage, and we're doing it right here in South Sioux City. So we wanted to take this opportunity to come introduce the event. We're going to be starting off on Thursday, September 15th at the South Sioux City Public Library with the Loteria game, which is similar to bingo. So it's a Spanish bingo that we're going to be doing. On Friday, we're going to do a drive-in movie. We're going to be watching the animated cartoon Vivo. It's a really cute cartoon movie about a monkey. So that's open to the public. It's free. Then on Saturday, we're going to be having a parade on Dakota Avenue at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. And then afterwards, we're going to have the festival at the Jeffrey Dibble Soccer Complex. And it's going to be an all-day event. There's going to be food, there's going to be vendors, there's going to be a kids zone. We're partnering up with the Sioux City Launch Museum, Children Launch Pad Museum, and they're going to be providing some activities for the kids. We're also doing some activities with the Nature Center. They're going to be bringing some of their animals over so that the kids can see them and educating the kids about them. So there's going to be a lot going on at the festival. There's going to be food and a lot of fun for the whole family. There's going to be live music and just overall a great event for everybody. So we just want to formally invite you guys to come be a part of it, and also we also want to let you guys know that we are also accepting sponsorships if anybody, if you guys or anybody that you know wants to be a part of this event and let their business be known. We are also accepting that as well. And I have that information if anybody needs it. So, yeah. Any questions about the event?
Do you have any of that information you can leave with
yes.
us?
Other, yes,
you know,
most definitely.
For potential
yeah.
vendors or do you have
yes.
your... Is this your number to reach you here on,
yes,
on this?
Yes, it is. And actually, if you, this is a QR code that
okay.
takes you to all our forms. So if you want to be a vendor or you want to participate in the parade, whatever you would like to do, all our forms are there. You can register on there. You can also call our office and we can help get you registered there as well if you're unable to do it over the phone or on your computer.
Is that 412-3333?
Yes. Yep, the 412-3333. And our office is on Dakota Avenue. We are where, what's that cafe called? I always forget.
Tri-State.
Yeah, the Tri-State Physician. Yeah, okay. That's where we are. That's where our office is at.
Okay.
Yep, so you guys can always stop by and we can definitely help you sign up to be a vendor, to be in the parade, or if you want a sponsor, we can also help you with that.
Yeah. Are you involved with the chamber in South Sioux?
We are.
Okay.
We are involved with them.
Yeah.
Yes. And we recently, last month, just signed up also with the Sioux City Chamber. So we are in both chambers.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good weekend.
Yes, it is. We are very excited about it. We definitely have a lot of work ahead of us. And it's coming up, so we are getting a little nervous because there's so much to do, but we are also very excited.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions?
You mentioned something about bingo.
Yes. So on Thursday, we're going to have a Spanish-inspired bingo. In Hispanic cultures, we call it la lotería. It's very similar to bingo. What it is like on this side, you'll see like a card right there, and I use the Sulan Bridge as an illustration, but like we'll call a card, and then if you have that card on your playing card, then you'll like put a little bead or something on it. So it's very similar to bingo. Yeah, and we'll explain that day in more detail of how it's played, but if you guys want to come and give it a try, it's very fun too.
If you win, does that pay you quite a bit of money?
I wish we could win some money. No, but we are not going to be doing money prizes, but we are going to have little prizes with like little bags with candy, and we might put some gift cards in there as well. So
it's not a total loss.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. Yeah. Any other questions?
Are there any admission like for the movie or anything like that?
No, it's completely free. They can just show up, and I know we're going to be the YMCA is going to be providing some popcorn. So
yeah. You on that big,
yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and the Sioux City, the city of Sioux City is actually the ones that are sponsoring also that event. They are providing the movie license, paying for the movie license. So we'd love to have you guys. If there's any way that you guys want to get involved, we're also looking for volunteers. So if you want to volunteer or know people who would like to volunteer or are looking for volunteer hours, then go ahead and send them our way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Sounds like a lot of fun, a lot of work.
Yes. Most definitely. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Yes. It's T-O-P-E-T-E.
T-O-P-E-T-E?
Yes.
I
do a little bit of everything, but you can put me down as program coordinator.
Okay, thank you. Moving on then to item F is approved resolution 22C015 to approve final allocation of levy authority for Dakota County Ag Society. A simple motion, Joan, or just the motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the Ag Society levy. It looks like it actually went down just a smidge from last year, from 0.007 to 0.0068. So.
Okay. I'll second that. Any questions on the Dakota County Ag Society levy?
This is the fair, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, the county fair.
Mm-hmm. If not, call the roll, please, Joan.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, moving then to the next one. Item G is approved resolution 22C016 to approve the final allocation of levy for the Dakota County Historical Society.
a motion to approve that. I think that one went up just a smidge from 00184 to 00185. So I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 22C-016 for the Dakota County Historical Society.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved by Janet and seconded by Larry to approve that one. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. Item H is approved Resolution 22C-017 to approve final allocation of levy authority for Dakota County Rural Fire Protection District.
Covington, sorry.
Dakota Covington Rural Fire Protection District. Any questions on that one?
I think this one went up about a 0.0264
to 0.0265,
so we have just a smidge.
I can make the motion.
I'll second that.
Motion by Troy, seconded by Janet to approve item H. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Item I is approved Resolution 22Z-018 to approve final allocation of levy authority for Emerson Rural Fire and Homer Fire Protection District Number 1. There is no J on here, but that this resolution is for...
I combined Emerson and Homer Fire District because they both joined the MFO, Mutual Finance Organization, and when they do that, they agree to set the same 3-cent levy. So Emerson property tax allocation was increased just a little bit to reach that 3 cents. It's hard to know before you get the value what to set the 3 cents. And then Homer requests actually went down just a little bit. They're not allowed to go over the 3 cents. So they both got set at a 3-cent levy in agreement with their MFO agreement.
I'll make a motion to accept the levies of 0.03 per the Mutual Finance or MFO agreement for Emerson and Homer.
All right. Motion by Janet, seconded by Larry to approve. Call the roll, please.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay. Item 3 on the agenda is miscellaneous. Jolene Goebbels here is for her highway superintendent road report. Jolene, hello.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Good. We had 291 hours of grading, 1 hour overtime, 18 hours on tree removal, 39 hours on all bridges for maintenance, which they got done, and they did finished up the inspections last week. 25.5 hours on the 265th Street Bridge, which they poured last week. I talked to someone with the engineer's office this morning, and said minimum 3 weeks before we could go out there and start backfilling. Want us to stay away from it so the concrete cures, and so hopefully we're on the right track with that one. 7.5 hours on South Bluff Ditch between 212 and 225th. 9 hours picking up garbage, 38 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 133.22 tons of 3/4 clean and 602 tons of 1.5-inch crushed concrete. We had some grading and gravel requests for Quimby Avenue for grading and gravel, K Avenue grading and gravel, Blyberg grading, Lackawanna grading, Jewel grading, I Avenue, and H Avenue for gravel.
Julian, a question on tree removal. Are there like certain size trees that we can't do as a county?
The big ones?
Yeah.
Some of them we've hired Dom Tree Service to take down.
They get the big ones?
They get the big ones, oh, yeah.
All right.
Julia, I got a call last week on Ironton for a couple loads of rock.
Okay.
And trimmed some cedar trees were sticking out in the roadway.
What road?
Ironton. And then up again on Highway 12, those roads go off to the north on 12.
Okay.
Which would be Park Avenue, Dale, and Q. I was up there last, Saturday, I guess it was. And then I went up that way, came back that way from Yankton on Sunday, and there was somebody lost a shock off their car. Because it was as bad as it's ever been. It's really bad.
That's the area where we're down a maintainer.
Well, he's out this morning, but that all three are out there this morning somewhere. But Keeman, I didn't see him in a blade. I blade in Homer's in the shop. He could be in the blade and or Byron or somebody, you know. Last week we had two motor graders setting all week.
I know Brent and Jared were in some of them last week, so kind of picking up the slack. So.
And then did somebody do a traffic count on North
yeah.
Bluff?
We had traffic counters in several locations throughout the county.
Do we have the results on that yet?
No. That's usually not very
who does it?
Quick, the state. So they sent out an email with all the roads in Dakota County that that they're having the traffic study on. So.
And does it? I know they did in the past. They haven't. It don't tell you whether it's cars or trucks.
No, just traffic.
That's real unfortunate, especially on that road there.
You know, there was. I did see a report somewhere along the line that did specify the difference between trucks and cars. I don't know if their little tube thing that they have out across the road measures like weight, and they go by that, or if they actually have somebody sitting there periodically doing some counts and take estimates that way.
Because essentially, car driving wouldn't hurt that road at all. It's the trucks and the weight of the trucks. It beats it up.
When I was looking in the stuff for Ron Hartman on North Bluff Road, I think I saw something about trucks versus cars.
Yeah,
so I can look into that too.
And then north of Hubbard, that culvert, where are we at on that culvert north of Hubbard?
Waiting on the hydraulic study.
And I assume it's the same there on that bridge at Dorsey's?
Mm-hmm, yep.
It's been a year since we talked about that one north of Hubbard.
I did talk to the same engineer I was talking about, 265th Street. They have that Husker Steel down in Columbus. And he said any big tubes, stuff like that, kind of expect 8 to 12 months to get because the supply is still really slow on that.
That's why it'd probably been nice when they did it a year ago or got started on it or something.
What size that they don't? I mean, you said 8 to 12
months for a large, any
large one.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an 8-footer, or the way that we think it might be an 8-footer. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to get that hydraulic study, so we're not putting in something too big and spending that big money on a bigger culvert that we wouldn't need. So,
end result of that, if we put something in bigger than what's already in M Avenue, then we're gonna have a problem with M Avenue.
Right. Yeah, and we did back in 2014.
Yeah, we did. We went over both roads. So we may have to put another culvert in over there. Yeah. If we size them right. But that one north of Hubbard on him, that we put in probably 20 years or 25 years ago, and that was engineered, I would have thought at that time they'd have done a study.
I guess I don't know what the regulations were back then, but yeah, you would think. But that was kind of an unprecedented event in 2014, though. So.
Yeah, it actually worked out that minimum maintenance up the way. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Jolene.
Thank you.
Okay, item B is the jail report. The only thing I will point out in there, I guess, which is good news, is the federal inmates still continue to be about what they were in the past. So we still have our what federal inmates we had. So that's good news. Not good news for them, but you know what I mean. Then let's move on to then item C, unless anybody else has questions on the jail report. All right. Item C is to approve or not approve a master human resources outsourcing agreement with Zelle HR Solutions for a period of 6 months and thereafter automatically renew for successive periods of 30 days at the fee of $4,000 per month, plus all reasonable out-of-pocket costs and expenses.
Didn't we vote on that the last meeting, or is this the...
We did. We did have a contract, so it's just...
This is
black and white.
This is the contract.
Yeah. Okay. So it kind of incorporated the comments that Kim had and that they replied back to.
Right, too, and then the reduction of
the cost.
From five, yeah.
Okay. And we had the option to extend this at the end of 6 months, right? Is that
yes.
For the same price, is that what this says?
So hopefully we have a few things once this is agreed upon that we have we're going to put them to work on right away. So we'll.
Is the appendix attached though? I mean, somebody has the appendix. I hope, because that's where this stuff is at. The detail is at.
I didn't write that.
Set forth in the applicable appendices.
I didn't see what the money was on this.
Yeah, I mean, there's an appendix that we don't have.
There's an Exhibit A, and there's a...
That just kind of spells out what they're going to do.
I mean, somebody's reviewed it, and it says what it, you know, it
and
says.
Appendix D, so I'm not sure...
If the board, if you want, we can approve subject to, making sure we have that, and I won't sign it until we do have that, if we don't, so.
Okay.
I'd make the motion to do that.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion by Troy, seconded by Janet to approve, subject to having all documents we need.
Basically, the Appendix A would spell out these terms right here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you call the roll, please, Joan.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Item D is approve or not approve bidding out county health insurance with an RFP to include self-funded and fully funded options. Joan, do you have comments about this? What I do know in talking with our and when Robert was here is the timing is. It's doable, but we don't want to, according to them, we don't want to get in a situation where we get ourselves overextended with insurance or having some cost
overlap.
There's a January 1 is a the date was January 1 where we would have information that, say, the Blue Cross Blue Shield, the NACO folks would have that information. We would have that information there, what they need. Our insurance goes through March, correct?
Through March 1st, isn't it?
Yeah, through March 1st. So, and what Robert said, and I have no problem getting the quote from anybody, but what they said was that when the time comes, if we want Blue Cross or NACO or whatever we're calling the other folks, if we want a, they can be included in the process. They will look at that in the process if they're a viable option for us. They're not opposed to that. So right now, if we would do something right now, I'm not even sure that we would have all the information that we need to get to somebody to bid it, to do that, to bid that out, because we haven't had a full year of insurance yet.
This is our second year with these folks.
Yes.
So this is our second year. So we've had one full year and three quarters of a second year, I think. Yes, at this point.
I just want to make sure that we have all the information to them so we can get a bid. I would like to get a bid from somebody else.
I would agree with Troy. I think, you know, it's a very insurance is very costly. I mean, it's in my opinion, our responsibility to due diligence to make sure we're getting competitive bids. That's how, you know, you save money, because that's a huge expense.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to that either. You know, getting a bid from whoever. I don't even care if Joan's selling insurance has a better offer than you know, we currently have. What I'm hearing is I'm not sure we can get the information currently, Joan, to get an RFP for insurance.
With Zell on board, they agree to help us with the RFP.
And they're going to start
September 1st,
which is just real shortly, so why don't we just table that and wait until we talk to them?
Yeah, I would like to have them bring it back when they have when they've talked to all the parties.
That sounds great.
Good idea.
That's a great idea.
That's one of the things they're going to go to work on.
The list of things that Zell's going to do is
It's getting longer.
Yeah.
and insurance and you know, we have a lot of moving parts with insurance.
Right. We don't want to overlap coverage and pay that two months twice.
Right.
So we would have to maybe coordinate something to start March 1st, and then maybe that second year get it back to, you know, there's.
I think they were willing to do that before when we talked and make some adjustments to get us to sync with our fiscal year.
Right.
But you don't want to wait too long, because then you don't have time to get up to
So
I think we're okay yet if we start in September.
Yeah.
So we can just bring this back. We don't have to table to when we get Zell on board and get that.
Okay, that's a good idea.
It might be a meeting or two till they get a handle on it, I think they'll bring a recommendation.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be a good plan.
Right.
By the end of the first of the year, you could be able to have something to sit down and look at.
Okay. All right, then we will move on to item E, is hearing of road department employee grievances regarding change in work hours. Board action to establish road department winter and summer hours of operation. Troy or Larry, do you have an update or anybody on this for us?
I told them we'd like to go back the 22nd, and I emailed Jolene. She sent it out. The union employees weren't happy, so I talked to one of them, and and said, well, we'd work with you and go the 29th, and they didn't like that idea, so we did have a meeting with them, and I guess I would still, and I think they're okay with the 29th, but the 29th, Monday, so that's what I'd suggest we do.
Is that a, so do we have to, is that a formal a letter on when that changes in that process? I mean, I guess I don't know. Because you did initially, right? Or spoke with Jillian or somebody.
It's posted at the 29th, and they need a week's notice.
Right.
The contract just says the union and the employer will agree upon a time. So
right.
I guess it can be as formal as you want it.
And we did discuss that, you know, a lot of the taxpayers I've talked to would like to have them back, you know, school to school. In case something happened, you know, they are there for the 5 days. Instead of being, if nobody's around Friday, you would have to contact Grant or Jolene, and it might take a lot extra time to get somebody out there, you know, if you had something happen where you needed them. So that was kind of our thinking as far as that date. I mean, it's still after school. It started everywhere, but it's real close. And then we talked that we would have a meeting before we did anything this spring, maybe a month before, and talk to everybody about, you know, this is what we would like to do, what are you thinking, and what do you want to do?
Well, reading what I could about the contract and how things had to play out, the first date I heard that they were going to go back to the five-day work week was, I believe, October 1st.
September 15th, somewhere in there.
September 15th, and then Troy, I think your first initial thoughts were August 29th.
22nd was my first thoughts.
And so there has been some back and forth in the between the road department and the road committee about dates, and that's what it the contract says, that there has to or there should be a back and forth with the board, and I really think honestly that's what the road committee is trying to do, is to be involved in that process right now or in the past, at least that I'm aware of. I mean, I've only been on the board for a year and a half. But it's my understanding that there was really none of that, before.
Yeah.
So.
So I think both parties, we need to work together, get together, you know, going forward and talk this over before we get to the end of when we want to switch. So back to from 4 days to 5 days when we do this, you know,
right.
The spring and the fall.
Okay.
That can't be etched in stone too far ahead of time, is if we get a wet year like we've had in the past, they need to be out there every day of the week, 10 days. I mean, 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. Because about 6 years or 7 years ago, we had so many mud holes in the county roads, it's unbelievable. But what happened, it would rain on Monday, late on Tuesday, again on Wednesday, and it wouldn't dry up on Thursday, and the 4 days were done, and nobody went out on the roads. So then the board had to hire two people to go out and grade the roads that would work after hours, 10, 12 hours a day, and whatever days they could work, which might even have been Saturday, even Sunday, to get the roads back in somewhat reasonable condition. So it's something that, going forward, we can't say, well, we're going to have 4 days a week from June 1st to August 30th or September 1st or whatever, because that could easily change. So it would definitely have to be a thing that would be negotiated or talked about in the routing change.
Yeah, because I think the contract, the wording it says that with 1 week notice from the board, because ultimately, you know, it comes back to not only the road committee but the board on setting these things. So I think we're just looking to try to get a little more involvement, like you're talking about, Larry. I know there's been issues in the past with roads, but it's much better today than it was even a couple of years ago, and that's due to a lot of things. You know, a lot of good people in the road department, so anyway, I'm not sure. So are we, Troy? Do we have a August 29th day? As have we determined that yet? As the day?
I guess we need, the board needs to take action on this, I believe.
Okay.
So I guess I'm good with the 29th. So I can, okay. I would make a motion that they go to 5 days, August 29th.
I'll second.
Okay. Motioned by Troy and seconded by Larry to do the 5 day on August 29th. Any other questions? Janet, if not, call the roll, please.
Robert?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Moving on to item F, is board to define superintendent versus road foreman separation of duties. Troy or Larry or Jolene, do you have anything you want to add to this?
When we talked about the hours, I think the everybody out there is worried that there's too many bosses. I mean, I think we need to figure out if there's just one go-to person and start from there instead of going back and forth. This is what I got out of our conversation. So, I mean, we either need to decide if Brent's in charge of that or if Jolene's in charge of that.
I did see in my email there were some job descriptions that were kind of marked up a little bit. Is that something that Zelle has been involved with, the job descriptions, or should they be?
They could. I'm sure that they could help us with, and I talked to Chad a little bit. That sounds something that they would be happy to work with us on, too.
I mean, I kind of saw what was going, you know, with the markup, and it kind of made sense to me their direction the markup was going, but I just got to thinking, they probably are experts in this. We can wait, are they on board, like, in a week?
They do a lot of road departments for a lot of counties.
Yeah, they might have some really good examples of how...
And some good advice.
Collaborate.
Yeah.
Collaboration between...
So possibly,
teams.
Should we coincide with them and talk to them and tell them the situation and see if they can offer any advice how we should move forward with that?
Unless our conversation's already been had with all the folks and the job descriptions, but it'd be nice if they could review them and they might have some words of wisdom, but yeah, I could see.
Well, I think from a person on the board's perspective, I mean, Zelle, we're going to get a lot of help from Zelle on a lot of things. We, the board, ultimately have the last say-so decision. And I'd be more than happy to meet, and I've met with Jolene before, and I've talked to Brent as well, too. I'd be more than happy to meet with them and discuss, you know, get their take on it, because I just don't want to throw, you know, Zelle in there and say, you guys figure it out. You know, I really don't. I mean, I would welcome their help, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to Jolene, or I don't want to do that to Brent, or any of the guys on the road crew.
The all the gentlemen on the road crew, if you would talk with them, they could definitely fill you in on some more scenario situations, and they definitely have a path they think that we should take moving forward. And that might not be a bad idea to get together with them. And
okay, yeah, maybe we just need and I'll do that. I'll meet with whoever I have to meet with in the road department. Maybe I need to talk to the guys and
maybe the union steward, Ryan, I think, too.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put that on my list.
Good. Good idea.
Maybe Dan, you both should.
Pardon?
Maybe you and Janet both ought to visit with them.
I mean, you guys have done a lot of...
Yeah, I know. We know the situation.
It's
best to get a first hand.
Sometimes it's better not to know anything going in than knowing too much, right?
Yep.
For everybody.
To be neutral.
Yes. For everybody. Yeah,
that's true.
For everybody. Because really, in the end, you just want the best,
right. The best
plan going forward. And however that the chips fall, that's the way it works. So,
yes.
So anyway, we will do that.
Sounds
we'll do
good.
That.
Sounds good.
Okay, then we'll move on to G, is approved projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan relief funding. The first one is to open and award sealed bids for courthouse window replacement project. So we have a bid for 62... I think 62 windows.
62?
That are, that have been here since well before 1962, I was going to say. So the first one is from Window World. Seventy-four windows. So we have a there's exterior trim, interior trim, etc. But we have 74 windows for $53,000 even. It doesn't say what. Maybe it does on here what kind of windows, but.
Is there anybody here to represent them today?
Is there anybody here with any of these bids on windows?
Yep. Universal Windows Directive. Sue Lynn.
I'm sorry?
Universal.
Universal, okay. Another Window World envelope. Same thing, right?
One of them was submitted before we asked for sealed bids.
Okay, I see.
You know about pocket knife, Ron?
No, I don't have a knife. This one is from Universal Windows. 74 windows for $111,000. Do you know, just because you're here, what kind of windows are these? Can you give us just a brief?
Yeah, sure. So you're going to be getting what's called a plus window. It's a thermal window, twin pane, filled with argon gas. We use something that's called Super Spacer. You guys will be getting a full lifetime warranty with those windows, so if there's any replacements, any paints that need to be changed out during the course of the ownership of the courthouse, which I'm assuming is infinite, you can get that free of charge.
All right.
So that maintenance I would advise you to look at those contracts to see what kind of windows you are getting. They're probably
right. Yeah, and that's the big thing is apples to apples here. And I know Kevin Hansen, our maintenance guy, has been involved in the bid, getting the bids for us, and may have some input on that. This is Mullen Awning and Siding, 74 windows, for $68,980.
Does them say start date or completion date or anything? the bids? I don't see it on this sheet here.
No. Last one is Claypool Brothers Glass. This one is for this. I don't see the quantity of windows, but I'm assuming it's the same. This is for $161,719. Now, some of these, I know I had talked initially to Kevin on the bid. Some of them. They talked about taking a lot of, maybe you can comment on that, but taking everything out and starting over. So how was your bid?
You have two different window types. You have a replacement window, which is your pocket window, and you have a new construction window. So you're going to tear the entire thing out of its space. It's known as a new construction window. The nail fin that goes around and attaches to the building by a flange. So our proposal is a replacement window, which means we would just be replacing the existing window pane space and normal frame space as needed. So this is more economical to do it this way. Our bid also includes the exterior trim and interior trim as needed as well. So I'm assuming when you look at the bids, you're going to need to see what's all included
right.
In those bids. In regards to not only the window system itself, the entire installation process from start to finish.
Okay, thank you. Well, at this point, Troy, you and I are building in grounds, so I think, I guess my suggestion would be that we need to, you and I need to look at these apples to apples, because yes. You know, we go from 53,000 to 161, that's
big difference.
Discrepancy, but just a couple different amounts there. So, unless the board has any other suggestions or questions,
we could get together probably before the next meeting and bring back a suggestion, I suppose, couldn't we?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. So, we'll bring it back to the board on awarding a bid. We won't award it ourselves. Mm-hmm. All right.
You might. Want to talk directly to people.
Each
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very question.
Yep.
Yeah. We're gonna know more about windows than we need to know by the time this is all said and done. But anyway, thank you for your input. You got your phone number on here. Do we talk to you?
Yes. So Kevin has both
okay.
information and my information.
Okay. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Great.
Thanks for coming.
Good. Thanks.
Okay, then we will we'll move on to approve or not approve requesting NDOT to reclassify M Avenue paving project. So we have Brett, there you are. Brett is here, and I can't remember your right-hand man's name there. Do you guys want to come up, or you want to come up, Brett, and take it away? As they say.
So I mistakenly thought you guys had a projector here or something that you could show or put this on the screen, but everything.
Can I get my computer? My laptop?
I probably have to send you a file still, right? Let me see.
Do you have a thumb drive with you, or how are you going to do it?
I don't have one with me. We can probably email it to you, but here's copies of what we have for now.
Okay.
I can share one cost estimate with whoever wants to hold that, and then I've got three copies of some of the plans. Yeah, I can share all three of those. I'll go by memory. But yes, good afternoon, everybody. Brett Langley with CEC, Civil Engineers and Constructors. 1270 South Derby Lane, North Sioux City, South Dakota. When we left last, I want to say about a month ago, we were tasked with putting together cost estimates for the various road, the various paths through here, essentially, which are mostly separated by what speed limit those roads will allow.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the I could probably share one more copy of this too if I need to for the estimate, but we broke it up into four categories right now. So 20 miles per hour, which was the original design and keeping the roadway along the original alignment. 30 and 40 are pretty closely tied, actually, miles per hour, which is that first bump out farthest that you'll see there from the, or the first bump out closest to the existing road, excuse me. And then 55 miles per hour, which is the farthest bumped out version you see there.
55?
Yes. So we had previously said 50, and looking at that again, it's 55. That is what they want for the paved county roads, okay. Correct. 50 was for rural unpaved roads.
Okay.
Dust, or yeah, dust roads. So anything dustless, they classify okay. as this paved one. So,
okay.
Which, not a huge difference between 50 and 55, but... Mm-hmm. Basically, what we found is that, in our opinion, 55 is just not feasible. We sort of spoke along those lines at the last meeting, and more of what we found here confirms it. Bumps it out quite a ways. There's a huge amount of grading involved with this. A lot of cut, actually. We end up bumping over into, I want to say it's the Lux property there, and we need to cut out a pretty large portion of that. And then the next property to the south, which has new owners, I believe. I'm not sure their names. But so, yeah, 55 just does not seem feasible, as well as the $3.4 million construction and engineering total cost estimate, $3.4 all in, we estimated there, which is a, if you can look through the list of line items there, your grading itself is a pretty significant one, almost $1.3 million in dirt being hauled off-site. Moving dirt around the site, I've got a lot of the dirt work broken into some different categories. Moving it around site is one, taking it off site is another, and then bringing it in is a third. So yeah, there's different costs associated with those, so I've split it into that, and quite a bit of dirt needs to be hauled off site in order to make that 55 miles per hour work. So more realistically is something in the 30 to 40 mile per hour range, which are the other two options we show there. And on that visual that you have, they are roughly the same alignment. The difference is more vertical. So in the profile there, we've got the 40 shown, I believe, and 30 is able to match the existing grade a little bit better than the 40. So similar, but basically less dirt work is the difference between a 30 and a 40. So... all that being said, cost estimates are here for some preliminary engineer estimates for what these different versions of the project would cost. And looking through some more of the Nebraska code on how roadways like this are constructed and what we need to do to meet the speed limit requirements, to me it just doesn't feel like what we're doing here should fall in the category of what they're looking for, but legally that's how it is at this point. I think options to lessen the speed limit, we'd have to look at changing it to a scenic route, which we discussed a little bit as an option. What that process looks like exactly, I don't have a firm grasp on it, but logically, I'd like to think there's somebody at the state of Nebraska that we'd be able to talk to that would know the best way to make this happen. You know, if somebody's out here and sees what the usage is of this road, I wouldn't call it a pass-through paved county road. This is primarily an access, a more paved access road to the park. And correct me if anybody feels differently, but that's... that's how I see it, and so I would like to think there's some kind of leniency to make that work. But without meeting with the state or somebody from the state that can help make these decisions, it's hard for me to give a solid answer on that. As far as, you know, hard numbers and meeting the standards, that's what we've brought here today. Wish it was cheaper or some better numbers so that we could just move forward with design and pave this road like we all originally intended, but here's where we are today.
So the speed limit, because the 20 miles per hour up on top here, mm-hmm. Julie, maybe you can help out too. Are the a gravel road? We set the speed limit on a gravel road, correct?
By the state does. It's 50 mile an hour, like you said.
I thought the county. There's an option for the county to set the speed limit. If you do a test.
If you have an engineer road study.
I think you.
You can set the speed, but.
I can.
The design.
Well, anyway, I guess my point is that. Is the gravel then different than a paved?
Yes.
Obviously, it is.
Yes.
The speed limit, the regulations, et cetera, because
requirements are different for yes, the gravel versus the paved. And to sort of answer your question, a new road being put in should follow their guidelines, where a unpaved road, a gravel road, should be 50, and a paved one should be 55. What you have in place right now, an existing gravel road that was not done to today's standards, it more so matched the contours of what was there. I believe there's probably a process that you could go through to look at reducing the speed limit. All that would do is get you a reduced speed limit for your existing road, which...
Right, so, but that's not going to help
that's
us
not gonna help
in,
our situation.
In our
no.
Cost...
Correct. Anything that we build or update here, it's going to be to the new standards, so it's going to... bump that speed limit back up.
Another question. So the and that is not considered buying any of this ground, the price that you have listed.
The cost estimates I have here, that final item there, property acquisition.
Okay, so you have it in there.
So I do have some costs in there associated with it. You will all know much better than me what ground probably goes for here. I have some estimates in there somewhere between farm ground and something that's considered more developable or commercial. My low estimate is $20,000 an acre, and the high ones right now I have are $30,000 an acre. So, what's farm ground in Dakota County? Maybe $10,000 an acre.
Ground.
Yeah, and this is I imagine is selling for something more than as farm ground. There might be a good comparable actually. I think with the property that just sold right there, which I don't know exactly what it sold for, but I think there was a residential house there, of course, and then a bunch of some type of farm ground around it.
How would another thing that you mentioned at the first go round when we were looking at this, where there's a cemetery on the other side. How would all this impact the cemetery regarding the entrance and the retaining walls and all of that? Because it looks like it would be quite a bit farther from the.
So our 30, 40, and a 55, all of those are pulling the road away from the existing alignment. So with the intention of not having to impact the cemetery at all. The only one that stays where it is and follows existing contours and does not have to impact the cemetery is the 20 mile per hour estimate, the one that stays on the existing alignment. That is the only one that stays and does not impact it. If we kept that same alignment with 30, 40, or 55, it would be impossible without taking portions of the cemetery. So yes, all three of these that you see that have a more detailed estimate here, that assumes we're pushing further away and not impacting it. If you can imagine the new road being pushed further east, the existing one won't be there anymore, so we'll grade up from the new road location and tie into the cemetery where it is right now, would be the plan. In fact, some of that steeper than allowable hill on it would be leveled out a little bit when we tie into it.
The approach would be farther to get in.
Correct,
it wouldn't be steeper.
Correct, yes. The approaches for all of them will probably have to wind a little bit with the road being moved over as well. Some of them can probably be a straight connection between the new roadway. Others will have to kind of wind a bit to help make up that grade, if that makes sense.
So the best, the lower the speed limit, the cheaper.
Correct.
It is. So what? So at this point, then we need to. We need to talk to the Nebraska Department of Roads.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
Look, here's the deal. Here's what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. So what's the number? Realistically, what's the number that they would go for if they did? Or maybe you don't even know on speed limit.
So the first conversations we had with Lemoyne, it didn't seem like there was much wiggle room. It was 55 is what it's supposed to be. There are options for you to present to their board to look at reducing it, but it seemed very unlikely. That seemed like what he wanted to impress upon me, was that there's not a very good chance we're going to do this. In their eyes, whatever you need to do to make that road go in and meet Nebraska state standards is what you need to do, which would include being a $3.5 million project versus more of a $1 million project that we're looking for. Maybe you're looking for cheaper than that even too, yeah.
So is he Lemoyne, is that his name?
Lemoyne is a gentleman that we've spoken with so far.
Is he the one we need to talk to, or we need to?
I imagine him or some others, yeah. Who exactly that person is for sure, though, I don't know.
Does it just need to be presented in writing to the board to be on their agenda, right?
To reclassify a road, the county board would need to do a resolution requesting for the reclassification to the Nebraska classification and standards. Now, if you wanted to do if you want to try and come in under standards, what word am I looking for?
Relaxation.
Relaxation, yeah. If you want to relax, if you have a relaxation of standards, then that's like an 18-point thing, 18 requirements that you need to fill out and send into the state. And that's a little more lengthy issue, but how often? I know originally, and I can give you what we did when we originally got 200 Street. We did, we were trying to reclassify that, but they ended up closing part of 200th and then just flooding that area. So what we kind of went through the process to reclassify that back in 2009, and then there ended up not being a road there. So there's a couple options, but Lemoyne didn't sound very optimistic.
We tried to reclassify 200th Street for what?
When the lake was first planning on getting it in, or it putting the lake in, 200th Street now just goes to the top of the hill, right, where that shack is. But it originally was going to continue on and kind of be over, kind of like a dike road over the top.
Oh, it was. Oh.
And so they were wanting to reclassify that to get the speed limit lowered. But then, of course, that never came through. So
I see.
I'm not quite sure how the process would continue. So.
So it sounds like kind of probably a little lengthier process to do as well.
As well as not being certain that they'll even accept it when you go through that process.
So best case scenario, the 30 is 1.7, is that what that was?
Yep. 1.7? 30, yes, and then 1.7. Keeping with what we had originally put together, the 20 is more in the 1 to 1.2 range.
So Do you think there's even an outside shot at getting it to 20? I mean, or
I think there's an outside shot at getting it down to. I'd have to double check what that speed limit was if it was classified as a scenic road.
And that's 35 miles per hour.
Okay.
35.
Mm-hmm. Which
do you think that'd be the lowest?
Yeah.
We'd get to.
Lemoyne has been on the board since the 70s, I think. He's worked at the board a long time, so he kind of has an idea how things go. So, I mean, he's a good contact to kind of bounce things off of, and that's what they've been doing. So, but you never know.
Yeah, and I think that's our best shot probably is that scenic road option if we are going to get a relaxation rather than classifying it how it is and trying to lower the speed limit. I think that's what he was pretty against. You know, didn't seem to think that was an option. But to me, it's a scenic road right now. I think it's a scenic drive out there, and maybe that is an option. That I don't know that they defined in there very well exactly what a scenic road is, what qualifies as that, but if we're looking for options, I think that's probably the one we try to chase right now. That keeps you closest to the low end of costs.
Yeah, I still can't get over the fact that it's 55 is okay for gravel, and it's not okay for, you know, 35 isn't okay for concrete. I mean, okay.
And part of that just being the classification as a county road, you know. I guess I don't know how that works, but if that was to be a city road, for example, I think this would be a different story, actually.
Good
as
better?
In lower speed limit, yes.
Maybe we have Hubbard annex in that road.
I do think that's a possibility. I don't know if that's something that you'd be open to or not. But
that, then everything would be tipped. We got no revenue.
We heard rumors of housing projects out there, haven't we?
Tip it or talk to.
Okay, so Jolene, so we can move forward here with Brett. Do you know what we need to do if we need to go with the one route to get to try to lower it? The board needs to do.
The board would need to do a resolution to reclassify it.
Okay, that's number one.
The second one, like I said, if you wanted to do a reduction or relaxation of standards, then that's a little bit more lengthier process.
And the third?
Something that they would have to help. I would have to sign that. But I think the first start would probably be better to classify.
And number three is Hubbard?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Talk to them and see if they can help us out a little.
Great. I don't think we're going to do anything with you today. I appreciate the information. Anybody else want to comment on anything? Kevin?
I have a question. If it's reclassified as a scenic road, is there a weight limit on it? Because M Avenue sees a lot of truck traffic, and if that would change, and that would.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That's going to affect that they can only have 8 tons, just like out. I would feel
that
a grain elevator affects a lot of people.
That's a good
point.
Yeah,
I personally don't know the answer.
I guess is that they might have a minimum, but if you extend it, you're not going to have a problem. You know what I mean? Yeah, it'd be nice to know before, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're putting on, what's this rated for now? I mean, is this like 10-inch?
I don't think it's have got any core samples or anything. But yeah,
for what the concrete, like how the thickness of your concrete?
8 inches
is what we proposed, yeah.
And that's supposed to be able to support.
Yeah, any paved version I would think would be fine. The traffic we see on it. I'm sure to say that. As long as 8 inches less, then yeah, then there'd be more to look at. But 8 inches would have dowel baskets. And, support whatever for the most part.
All right, Brett, thank you. Trudy,
what was the cost on the 30 miles an hour and 40 miles an hour? We don't have them.
It's 1.7 for 30, 1.9 for 40, and 3.4 for 55. So go figure.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, well, I think. At least my opinion is we're not done yet. You know, I know there's a lot of people. It's a beautiful area. We want to get it done if we can. And you know, the numbers are just like anything else. They're going up all the time. But you know, until it's over, it's not over. So we'll keep going. All right. So let's then move on to the next item is to bid Jackson Cemetery entrance project. So this is the obviously the Jackson Cemetery entrance. I was out there with Larry the other day, saw that. Janet, I think you've seen that as well.
Yes, somebody talked to me about it too.
That's kind of been in Jolene. Or Jolene, any comments on that?
I know Janet said something that Jackson might be willing to help out with that.
No, actually, well, they are going to be doing some work up in the cemetery for the pavement and the cross fell down, several things. They're an improvement project. But I think the question in my mind is apparently the road, that's why I asked the question about the road. The road was originally somewhere else and it got moved over?
No.
Yeah, so the entrance to the cemetery is actually
way to the north.
Yeah, way to the north. But then the road got moved, so this bridge that used to be, or whatever it is, used to be county. And now the county road got moved. Moody got moved this direction, so we kind of have the same situation that potentially could happen in Hubbard. You'd have a really long entrance that might have, but the cemetery doesn't actually start until, yeah.
The issue is a wood pile, or I don't know if they're riding off the crystal, as far as I can tell. It looks like they're leaning off the start of the, and then the pavement that's there now is pulling apart and settling down. And when the county moved the road, they had to drive the piling because they elevated the driveway where it approaches the county road. They kind of used to come around the bottom of the hill. It was low, way down low. Then went up the other hill. And then they come up over the hill on the east side, came over the hill and to the next hill, but they had to elevate everything by, I don't know, by 10 foot or something. Well, now it's leaning. And like I said, it's suddenly the paving's breaking up. And it needs to be fixed.
Is this county responsibility to take care of this?
That's kind of where the question lies in my mind.
Well, they did it. I mean, they did it. They moved the road, but if they left the road there, it would have been fine. See?
What year or
how many years ago? That was a long time ago. In fact, I think what they did do, they moved the road so they could build a dam, because what happened was the water was going out over the county road, washing the county road out from the ravines up above. So they moved the road up the top of the hill so they could build an earth-filled dam down below to catch the water that used to go out over the county road. I'm not 100% sure that the county built the dam, but I wouldn't be surprised. Back then they did things like that.
So is it, I know what our portion of, we're talking the bridge. Have you seen it, Troy?
Yes, sir.
We need to do, if Jackson's going to do something with the rest of the road, we need to do that. When are they going to do that, I guess? Does anybody know? And if they're not, can we do what we're talking about and be done with it, the bridge and that work, without them doing their whatever they're going to do at the cemetery?
Well, they're going to start paving that up around there this month, this September.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who technically owns that. Because it used to be a county road that went right through there, so I don't know if it was, you know,
kind of given up maybe after you went to the cemetery.
Went to the, was, what do you call it when they turned the land over? Or if it was
deeded over.
Deeded over, if it's still.
Well, it's a county road, right, Jolene?
Well, yeah, Moody is a county road, but I guess I thought this is where this was falling under the ARPA, kind of like what we did in Homer. That was, we agreed to the paving, which was not our road. We kind of talked about doing stuff in the town.
But do we even know what this project would entail? I guess I don't even know, because it does look.
Well, Larry has an idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were going to put it on paper, but we never told them to move forward. Okay. The engineer. Okay.
That's what this is on here for. Do we want to move forward and bid it out, I guess?
Well, it's our responsibility, right?
Well, I think it is, and they think it is.
But is it?
Yeah, I guess that's what I would say too. It was originally they were the one who put it there, but did they ever deed it over? I don't know. but I mean,
would that be
with the assessor now?
That or deeds? We can see how it's
registered. Deeds.
But at least, I mean, I think there's probably a reason why we'd want to help them out at some point, because I mean, it was, I don't know that they, I don't know what it would take.
For a cost sharing deal.
Yeah. Or do it.
Well, I think at minimum we can get a bid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I'll make a motion that we get a bid on this, our portion of the bridge entrance to the cemetery.
See, in the Moody, there's a culvert that has, it should be extended 10 foot each way. On each end, it's too short. It drops right off right off the end of the road. Also.
And it's going to need a pretty big culvert, isn't it? For, yeah, it looked to me, because it looked like to me there's a lot of water that could come down that.
Yeah, I'll second.
All right. Jolene, can you get that?
I'll find out.
Yeah.
The property.
Well, and the bid. Get a bid on it.
We have an engineer on the project, don't we?
Two of them. The one was cheaper than the other one. I gave that to Jolene.
Okay. Oh, they've already bid it? They've already got it?
No. I took them out and showed them what needed to be.
Okay.
See?
Okay.
And then, but he's been, they both want to know what's going on, but they haven't. As long as I told them while we're waiting on a decision to go forward.
I thought we hired that EML or.
Well, we didn't really hire them. We didn't pay them nothing.
Well, we signed the contract and sent it to them for their signature.
Yeah.
Who?
The people that are crossed them.
Really?
Yeah.
When do we do that?
It's been a while.
Maybe longer.
Well, a month ago he called me. I talked to him about something and he didn't. He wanted to know. I'll find out.
So we do have an engineer on
this project?
Well, yeah. I mean.
Okay, so we have one too?
I don't know if we do or don't. I mean, what I
all right,
mean.
We do.
We agreed to do the, I don't know what their name is, I'll cross it.
EDM or EDL or
MLB. They had the bid for like 18.5, I think, to do the work on it. And
right,
to my knowledge, it was signed and then sent to them for their signature. So maybe something got lost in the mail along the way.
So they can give us a number then.
Well, Ron Nor, I mean,
they can go out for bid.
Okay.
See, Ron Nor, why he
Ron Nor, that was the name.
Right, he lives over in Sioux City, but he's got an office up in Crofton. But he works down here a lot. But and he wanted 2 weeks. It was, he had taken 2 weeks to get started on the plans, and once he got notified, well, mm-hmm. I've never heard nothing. I didn't know we signed off on anything.
So we need to check with them first, the other ones that...
Joan, do you have a copy of the contract that would have been signed?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we have a motion. We have a motion and a second to get a bid.
To get a bid.
So, we'll go from there.
For the engineers to put out RFPs for bids. Okay.
Right.
Who was Robert and Troy?
Yeah.
Rob, okay. So roll call.
Yep.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay. The next item is to approve purchase of road department equipment. So we had our conversation last time about mowing and that issue. Go ahead.
Can I put my 2 cents worth in?
Sure.
So when we had the meeting about when to start back for 5 days a week, the union steward and the union rep, the union rep said a county commissioner cannot mow or run a blade because you're taking a job away from a union employee.
A county commissioner?
Yes.
Or anybody.
Or anybody.
Oh. Well, first I'd have to know how to run one, but... Yeah,
that was talked about and
okay.
So
that makes sense.
Well, that makes sense.
And he said you can. What can they do? They can go forward and send a complaint in on you for doing it. A grievance. So yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so the just up to speed on the conversation about the mowing then. I thought that when we sent out a weed notice that somebody didn't comply, we would go in and mow it. Well, that led to, well, we don't really have a tractor. We have a tractor. It's 1972. So it might be qualifying more towards the antique side, you know, worth a little more money than just a regular tractor for us. Also, the mower that we have, I think that it was mentioned that that needs work, et cetera. So my thoughts on a tractor and a mower. We really don't have either. I know we've had discussions about, well, if we buy one, you know, it's just going to sit. We're not going to use it, this and that. But so we can, and we can, I understand that we can buy one, not a new one, for, here we go again, not buy anything new, but new ones are hundreds of thousands of dollars. Used are 50-ish. You can get a good one around 50, maybe a little bit more. And a mower to do some mowing. Because, as I said, when we sent out the letter, I thought we'd just go mow it. We can't mow it because we don't have the equipment to mow it with. And we also might not have the employees to have time to go mow it. But if we had a mower, it'd be a lot easier to mow if we had a situation like this come up again. So anyway, under the ARPA money discussion, and I know Road Department had a list of a lot of things that they wanted, needed, et cetera. Me personally, I think that the mower, the tractor, and a mower are more on the need side than want side, because we're not mowing also some areas that we should be mowing as a county. So we either hire it or we do it, or, you know, we find a way to do it. So I'm not sure. Anyway, I'd like to see us get a mower, a used mower, and get a tractor. You know, we're not talking, I think, under, it'd be, Larry, you know, I think a mower, that one we saw over at Dixon was, you know, $10,000, $15,000 for a mower that we'd be able to go down and do some road ditches or, you know, where we need to mow stuff we should be mowing.
I think I'll stick to the style we have currently.
Can we rebuild the one we have?
That's a good question. It's sat there now for, well, it's been parked now for 2 years.
So I'm sure we can get somebody to give us an estimate to fix it, and I don't think it would be near as expensive as buying another one.
Or, you know, Scott brought up that, you know, we could get one for $1,000 a month, brand new.
Tractor or more.
For a tractor.
I didn't talk to John Deere, but I would really like to. I'd like to see the lease on that before we did it. I'd like to see it, and I heard availability on the tractors like that is like non-existent from the farmers I talked to. So, I mean, I would just like to see that. If we could do that next year, that'd be fine with me. But I would like to see in black and white that's how much it costs and what the lease entails and how many hours and so on and so forth.
Well, I think the way Scott talked last time was he called him on Thursday and they said you can have it tomorrow.
I do know there's a huge shortage of all that stuff though, just like everything else. But
anyway, that's my two cents on the mower. And a tractor. Because we can't take care of some stuff we should be taking care of now.
I say we get a price on fixing our mower, get that fixed. And I mean, it's pretty late in the year now to mow, but next spring we can certainly talk with John Deere or whoever. And because the roads department, you could use the tractor for more than just mowing anyway, I'm sure.
How old is the mower, Jolene?
1996.
How much is a mower?
A new one?
Yeah.
I was kind of looking on Big Iron for the meeting, and there's some about 10, I mean, there's plenty below 10,000, but what shape they're in, I don't know, but there was some that were between 10 and 15. If you wanted to buy a new one, you're looking over 20,000, I think, pretty easily.
And if you ordered it now, you probably wouldn't get it till who knows when. I think they're in short supply too. But and you have to be careful if you do buy a used one. We could buy something that's just like we got or worse,
right?
Or the same.
So.
What? How? What brand of mower is it we have?
Bush Hog.
It's a Bush Hog.
Yeah, Bush Hog 2610 Legend. We bought it in 1996 for $5,500.
Who sells it?
I guess I don't know off the top of my head.
$5,500.
Have to do a little research on that. I'm sure that they still make them.
Oh, I'm sure.
Bush Hog and Rhino were pretty big.
It might be the place out on 20 past the John Deere dealer out there, maybe. That tractor, isn't there a tractor place out there? I think maybe they were a dealer for them. But anyway, we could do a Google search or Yahoo search and figure out who's close. And maybe we could just load it up and take it over there and say, can you give us an estimate to rebuild this thing?
I just know whenever we needed parts for it, we were going down to Ottawa.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I think the Lowe's or something down in Ottawa was supplying the parts for us.
Does the place that has the tractors that they rent by the month or lease, do they have a mower as well?
I don't know. That's something we could look at.
Not like this one that we've been using. We got a mower with a wing on it, one bat wing.
Right.
That goes down over the shoulder. You know, you don't have two bats.
Just one on the right side.
Yeah, one on the right
so
side.
So you do this as easy.
That's the way you want to do it.
Yeah.
That other business brings all the grass up on the road. It throws it into that one. Then that's a son of a buck for the motor grader guy because he winds up with more grass and stuff, weeds and stuff, than he does anything else.
And if we aren't going to use the tractor a lot for like dirt work or to build roads or whatever, I don't think we need to rent that big a tractor. Because, I mean, the bigger the tractor, the more you can tear up, can't you?
I wouldn't think we'd want anything less than 150 horsepower. Pull the disc.
That's kind of what the guys were saying out there when I asked them today. Definitely wouldn't want to go less than 150.
So that would be, I guess, our scenario for when we're looking for
150 to 175 horse. And I guess if they got a real steep hill and was really going to get aggressive on road building, which I don't ever see happening, then if there's a problem, they could go to the top of the hill and come back down to the disc.
And we have to make sure that, I mean, we're not just doing favors for people and mowing their roads either, if they need to mow their own.
Well, then there's an issue with the people that aren't mowing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely.
So why do we mow?
Come up with a resolution to, if we had a tractor mower and we went out and mowed.
Mow and charge.
To and charge what we can charge it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it'd pay for itself. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be because it's July and September that they're supposed to mow.
Yeah,
so
and that makes it hard. You have to mow one time before July and then sometime in September, but a lot of weeds can grow in that amount of time, so it's kind of hard to keep track if somebody went out and mowed right away and then,
We got some on North Bluff there, on the north end of North Bluff. I mean, there's some flowers like that. They're big, huge, you know. Looks terrible.
And we'd have enough manpower to go out and do that all the time.
Well, that's the problem. You wouldn't ever have the manpower. Well,
we used to hire a part-time summer guy.
We used to hire somebody.
So we could do that the next
year.
That's
what I think.
Hire a part-time summer guy.
That'd
be good.
Well, my opinion is we need to get a mower and a tractor sooner rather than later, because if we don't get one, and I get people calling me because you know where everything goes, is I'm giving them your number.
Yeah, give them mine.
I'm giving them your number.
But if we need to do something right now, maybe we do need to hire somebody with a tractor and a mower, and then when we charge the people back, you know, if there's...
Yeah, well, I've been... And that's, yeah, I agree. That's easier said than done, because I've been trying for 2 weeks to find somebody that will mow.
Oh, really? Oh, we can't find him.
Yeah,
and we haven't got it done yet. Now, the landowner is now all of a sudden mowing.
Oh, okay.
A little bit. But that still doesn't fix our
long-term
problem.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we got this ARPA money for, is things like that, in my opinion, so. But
well, we can, it doesn't cost anything to get a bid on the mower and see availability and see what it would cost just to do that, and, you know, then maybe get some idea of the cost to fix ours, and then, are you talking, you want to get a tractor yet this year and give them
I think sooner, yeah, on? Sooner rather than later. I mean, stuff is not going to get cheaper.
Okay, so then that
leaves
the option. You're going to buy used, and we have a chance, maybe something close on Big Iron. We would know, I think you guys would need to go into closed session and come up with a number, a maximum amount that you would pay. So, you know, you could go look at the tractor and then have an idea, so you at least could bid on something.
It was kind of like the dump truck, the dump mm-hmm. truck deal too. But, I mean, so that's the thing, you know. We have to figure out if we're going to let anybody go do this or not, and what, you know, scenario you have involved.
You've got to have a certain amount of knowledge about what you're looking at, too.
Yeah.
And I mean, myself, I got AgriVision sent in a magazine with all kinds of John Deere equipment in, and they must have had 40 John Deere tractors, ranging all the way from 50 to 300 horsepower, 400.
And maybe they give us a little warranty on one.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, see. And then the Gooseman's, I mean, I'm sure they got used tractors in that horsepower range. We just tell them anywhere is 150 and above with so many hours.
Mm-hmm.
Say 6,000 hours ain't nothing too much for a tractor. You know?
So you're suggesting to call around to some of the dealers and see what's
right,
available?
Right, and have them bid on it. Or give us give a list of what we got and how much.
Price.
Kind of like we do when we get a
sealed bid deal
by maintainers.
Yeah, same
thing. Can we do that then, just to move forward? Just have.
Well, I think we should. Big Iron, it depends on where the tractor is at, but you know, if there's a private individual selling it, you don't know what you're going to get. And if you know, unless you know, really know your tractor, and you take it out and drive it around and shift it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but some people trade your car for the same reason.
Why?
Because there's something wrong with it.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, but I mean, when you go to a dealer, though, you get, I mean, at least you say, well.
See if they'll stay behind it at all.
30 days, or whatever.
Yeah.
So can we have Jolene look, or Brent, or somebody look at these places, or wherever you're talking about, Larry, and just see what they have that's out there, or how do we?
Well, he might be driving all over the state of Nebraska, because them guys got about 50 doggone.
Ask him. Could you just call somebody?
That's what I'd do.
Yeah. Just ask them to give us a.
They can send
a bid on. Make us spec out what we're looking for.
150 to 180 horsepower.
And they can just send us the list of what they have, and hours and condition, maybe.
And then we can narrow it down and go look at it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we could get something, and next year we are ready. Or maybe this year we can get one right away. We can still go do some
stuff.
Well, that old Mort, I think it would be good. But I've been told by two different people now, the clutch.
Yeah. I think the PTO has been ripped out of it a few times from what I heard, too. But anyway, I don't think it would cost too much to get our lawnmower back and, you know, put some blades onto the clutch. Maybe I think we'd get it back in shape pretty fairly priced.
The mower that we have now?
Yes.
Okay. And it has a little wing thing?
Yes, it's set up for just what we need.
Okay, perfect.
And we could still use that, Bob, if we have a field that we need to mow.
Right.
We can still use that for that.
That one?
Yep.
I wish we'd get it into the shop and get the thing, the wing up, and get it up in there so a guy could take a look at it.
That would help.
And see what its problems are, you know.
Do we have any idea, Jolene, on that mower, what its issues are?
I remember this talking about the clutch.
But it almost looks like one of the blades is broke off. There's no cut clean in the middle. When the two blades go, leaves grass right down the middle, like there's a blade too short.
Maybe he said
Well, there you go, 1996.
Pull it out of the weeds. Pull it up there so we can take a better look at it, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, good. Could I have
Larry and I think it pulled out at least Larry and I will look at it.
Could I have it pulled up, and I'll be over about 9 in the morning.
Hey, Jolene, why don't you look for...
We're going to make a bid to fix the mower.
Well...
And put a spec together and get some sealed bids on...
Tractors.
Yep. Well, we don't have to get out of there. Well, yeah, we should know what we're going to spend on that mower. You're right. But I won't go through the trouble of getting somebody... They won't give us a price to fix it.
Can you, if we look at the mower then, can you also shop for a mower in case it doesn't fly? Because, I mean, if it's 1996, you know, maybe we can get something in the 2000s that is a little better shape.
Or a new one.
Or a new one. I mean, if it's going to last for the way things are, well, yeah, for a long time.
Okay, so you want me to have it pulled up by about 9 in the morning?
Unless he's on gravel or something, I don't want to bother him.
I don't know if you have to get it back quick, do you?
Well,
maybe in the next couple days.
I'd like to know, but I think it's been sitting there for nearly a year or down there.
You might have more important things.
I want to get that. I mean, it's driving me crazy.
So we'll know right away the mower, right?
I don't want Larry to go crazy.
I don't want to go crazy, but I'd love to see if them blades are.
He got looking at it. He put pickup on it, dragged out.
Last time they took it down North Park, and left a patch of grass right down the middle with a 2 foot.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, there's just something right, but they shouldn't do that.
They probably just have a bad blade.
So pull that out. Call some dealers to see if they have some in the area to get a general price. Is that where we're at?
On more is what you're saying. Now, West Point sells Rhino, their distributor. I know that for a fact, I've been down there.
And the tractor, Larry, how much?
But they're the international dealer down there, I think what they are. And they sell exclusively Rhino mowers. But they don't have this style mower. I didn't see any down there. I was looking for it. When I went down there, I was looking for a finished mower with two wings. But that's what they sell, and they are.
She should. It's worth
Rhino on the internet. Rhino refers to those as that dealership as being a distributor too. I mean, they sell one and distribute to other dealers.
Oh, okay.
So if they got anything, I mean, they don't have a big slow assortment because there's not that much demand. Everybody wants green.
But if we price them more, price the same thing we got, so we have the wing on the right side.
Same thing. On the right hand side, that thing works like the whistle.
I guess get a price on the new one and see what availability is.
Well, we have to make a motion on that, okay?
Project.
Or can we just go out?
Okay, where are we on the track?
It's just for approve a purchase. So if you're not doing that, I wouldn't.
No, we're not buying
it.
So tractor also. So how many? 150? What'd you say? Horse?
150.
180 or somewhere in there.
Okay.
You wouldn't need one over 200, I know.
So 150 to 180 horsepower.
Yeah. 150 is just about to get the disc up the hill, maybe. So.
Okay.
Okay, I have one more thing since we're talking about ARPA.
Yeah.
Dodge Avenue.
Oh, thanks. I had that down somewhere.
You guys familiar with where Dodge Avenue is? It's that back road off Highway 7. So if there's a train, I had a deputy call the other day and there was a train, so they had to take the back way to Highway 77 to Dakota City.
Oh, yeah.
And it is in pretty bad shape.
It is in
part
bad shape.
Part of it is the counties, part of it's the cities. So
is that here in Dakota City?
It's the one right over here by the highway, across from the golf course.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah, that side road.
The old one that used to be.
I take it once in a while to get to beat the train. But.
Yeah, that's bad.
Somebody's out there and did some patchwork on it here a week or so ago.
Not on our share.
Well, it must be in the city then.
So it's partly city.
Part of the city, part is ours.
Mm-hmm. So is that it's bad. You ever go that way, Charlie?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I had to because the train went.
You go once.
Yeah.
Go once.
Today. What tonight, when about you go home.
Is it tired?
I get my pickup first. I don't want to take my car.
Something needs to be done.
You can go slow.
It's to the point where.
You can go.
Really if you patch it, you just as well resurface it.
Really? Yeah, it's bad. It really is bad.
Would the city be interested in doing their share if we did our share? Or?
Well, I don't think they go that far. You do the asphalt. They got it asphalted away.
It's about even with their building there.
Did it go that far?
That's Dakota City, yeah.
Because the new asphalt they put on here about 3 or 4 years ago don't go near that far. Just barely
started. Oh, yeah, that road. I know right the one you're talking. Yeah, that road's really, really rough. They probably need to redone.
The street is, but the road kind of goes, and then it curves around back into Dakota City, and then our road continues.
So what would we do? Resurface?
A couple hundred thousand. 150, 200.
Really?
That used to be Highway 77.
Yeah, it did.
So we got deleted deaths when they quit using it then?
Sure.
So drive it, take a look at it.
Call Lincoln and tell them we'll resurface that road if they'll negotiate the speed limit on that other road.
There you go.
Since it's their highway.
This road.
That's Larry, 150 to resurface that?
150 to 200.
For half of it or all of it?
The whole stretch, I'd say. Whatever the city's. The city's pretty good for the first couple 300 foot.
Right.
From here. But then after that, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it gets worse as you go.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But,
okay, well, I don't think.
But I don't know whether they'd want to saw the joints out or mill it.
I'll talk to old Robert over there and see what the city and see if they if they'd be interested in doing something or I don't know. I mean, yeah, they'd probably do their portion of it, but do you think it'd be 150 for the whole thing?
Well, I guess it all hinges on whether you mill it down because the every joint's bad. I mean.
About half
the mill. I don't know what's under it. I mean, old Highway 20 out in Jackson that time, they milled all the way out the other end, right onto the pavement, probably the old paving, and then they overlaid 3 inches or whatever it was. It was pretty good thickness. And did a good job, but I don't know whether if they can level it, I mean, fill those joints, you know, patch them like, and then overlay and make it work good without the joints coming back up. Being an issue, I don't know.
But it'd be good for a while.
For a while, yeah. Probably 10 years, 15 maybe. It'd be.
Okay, well, I'll talk to them, and then next meeting we'll talk about it again.
Perfect.
Fair enough?
Sounds
great.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Commissioner Committee reports. Janet, anything?
The postcard for the broadband to our rural residents. Thanks to Joan, we whittled it down from 900 to about 700. So it was the bid that we got will go down that amount of money, and it's going out today. Went out today.
All right.
Went to the post office today. So yeah. So people should start seeing it.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll get 200 people to do the test or send in a postcard. That's it.
All right, Larry. Anything?
No.
Troy. We were going to talk, I might as well just mention it to Troy, about the LEC budget. We can talk later about that.
Okay.
Let's see, what else for us? I can't think of anything. Joan, anything?
No, budget. September 12th, we have to have a budget hearing that doesn't have a time ending on it. Last year we met at 6 and no one showed up. We talked for a while and do you want to meet? I've got September 12th. They pushed off filing the budget now till September 30th. So, September 12th is the Monday, is the next Monday, open Monday, the 12th. Does that work for everybody?
It's only about, what do we mean? We have to meet for a half hour?
We can meet for 15 minutes if no one else shows up. 5:30?
5:30? Why don't we do the same day as a meeting?
We can't.
Really?
Well, we could do it. We could set it for 5:30. We could set it for 5:30 on the 6th.
Oh, for a count of people coming to it?
Yeah. Then we'd have to stay here for till
5:30. Or come back, leave and have something come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jackson.
We left our last meeting about 5:30, 5:20.
Or Gateway 2:00.
In between.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tuesday would work better for me.
I don't care.
Tuesday?
Let's do that. 6? Anyway, yeah.
The
if everybody agrees.
Tuesday the 6th?
At 5:30.
5:30,
okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
For the
budget. That's almost Miller time.
Well,
always behave yourself.
About 2 hours in.
Okay.
And you said 5:30?
5:30 on the 6th, okay.
Because we'll see the budget then on Monday, right? We'll see that everybody going. Our group will see it.
And I haven't got anything certified from Christy yet, but she gave me a preliminary, so I've started to print out my budget, so I should be able to put together an ad. I need to send notice in, so I'll have to advertise it. Okay. And then we are not going to be on the postcard, as far as I can tell, from the preliminary values. Everybody has to have this LB 644 postcard hearing,
yep.
And not on it, so we don't have to set a meeting date for that.
It's a good list not to be on.
That is a very good list not to be on.
We'll approve our budget at our September 19th meeting, is what my plan is.
Is it more or less, or do you have any idea? Where we're at, money-wise, the budget.
What I have now is the levy's gone down 2 to 3 cents.
So we'll get a chance to look at it before.
We should meet with the department heads. Do you want to meet with the department heads' budget committee before the meeting on the 6th?
I suppose,
that's our next meeting. If we're going to approve it in the next 2 weeks.
But it'd just be nice to see, you know, this is what we asked last year, this year, so you can kind of see how the mill is calculated and the valuations. So we know kind of valuations went up this, so we can talk it when people ask us.
Okay.
Anything else, Joan? All right, I am afraid we are adjourned.
Okay, good. All right.
447. 447. Yep.
Janet, do you want to take a look at it? See.